Have you ever been asked to do something for which you were woefully unprepared? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Brant Berglund, your host and study guide author. We're beginning a new 13-week series on the New Testament books of 1st and 2nd Peter. My conversation partners throughout this quarter are Dr. Alden Thompson and Dr. Jody Washburn, both professors of Old Testament at Walla Walla University. But as Old Testament scholars, it's not like you don't have something to say about the New Testament as well. So this opening question, have you ever been asked to do something for which you were woefully unprepared? Does anything come to mind?
Everything. The problem is when you think you're prepared, and you're not really. At least that's been my problem. I tend to be kind of a bull in a china shop, and you go in there, and then as you get into it, you realize that this is a bigger challenge than I thought.
Yeah, something similar came to my mind when I read that question first. Marriage, interacting with family, how to respond to young children, students, all these daily interactions can feel like things you're woefully unprepared for.
And it's really amazing that the Lord has decided to give babies to people who actually have no experience whatsoever.
Yeah.
No owner's manual, nothing. You just are there.
And our own experience as children hasn't always prepared us for it as well. And not all of us have been raised with the best of parents, perhaps, and that makes it even more difficult. We're looking here today at the life of and the background of Peter. Many scholars have looked at the books of 1st and 2nd Peter, and many are convinced that the author says Peter, the one who wrote these epistles, that is the disciple of Jesus, the impetuous one, the fisherman. But when we think about Peter's life, when he was first called to be a disciple, the story in John, who was it that brought Peter to Jesus?
His brother.
His brother brought him.
Mm-hmm.
Did Peter have anything that would prepare him for a meeting with the Messiah? Did he have any background that would make him ready for that experience?
Makes you wonder if it's seems a combination between the broad expectation of a Messiah, right? That would have been part of the experience of anybody familiar with the Jewish scriptures, combined with a simple testimony. Andrew heard John say, "Behold the Lamb of God," and then he told his brother, "This is the Messiah."
How powerful would that be to have your own sibling convinced, "I have found the one we've been waiting for. You've got to come and meet him."
Yeah.
And then we move along and we see in the book of Luke, in chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, a night of fishing that hasn't ended well for Peter and his brother, James and John, probably the sons of Zebedee. They fished all night and they've caught nothing. And that next day we see Jesus come to meet them. There they've been fishing all night, and he says, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat, and you'll catch something." And they do. They throw their nets on the other side of the boat, and up comes a catch that is incredibly deep, a huge catch of fish. If you were Peter, if you were James and John there, what would that experience tell you about the one who told you, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat"?
Well, isn't this the place where, when Peter saw that, he threw himself down and said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man"?
At Jesus' feet.
Yeah, at Jesus' feet.
And he's kind of holding on to him the same time he says, "Go away from me."
Yeah.
It's a funny picture.
I think it's interesting in this text. I guess I identify a little bit with the previous speaking of Peter, where after Jesus says, "Put your nets out," he says, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you said so, we'll put the nets down." And I guess I identify with that of saying, "Well, I know better, but I suppose just because you mentioned it, I might try it." You know, like trying to get off the hook.
We'll do it to get you off our back a little bit.
No, just like, it wasn't my decision. I know better, but I guess we can give it a try. And so often I sense that in myself, that I want to make sure people know, "Oh, that wasn't my judgment." But Peter here has to swing completely around and say, "Actually, thank you." It was a perfect judgment call that you offered us.
But how odd, a judgment call. Throw the net on the other side of the boat. I mean, if you were fishing in a river and you were casting your – if you were casting in a river and you cast it into the same little water hole and someone came along and said, you know, throw it like 2 feet to the right on the other side of the water hole and you'll catch a fish. Would that not be a little weird?
Well, especially if it was someone who knew absolutely nothing about fishing. A non-expert.
And you say, all right, I'll humor you. You do it, and then you pull up the nicest trout you've ever pulled out of the river. Peter's response then, Alden, you mentioned, he throws himself at Jesus' feet. Depart from me, for I am a man of unclean lips.
Jesus doesn't settle for that. No. Don't be afraid, he says.
Don't be afraid.
But this, you know, Peter's reaction here, he's always impetuous, always going on wild swings of the pendulum. But in a sense, that's what endears him to us. If you ask a group of believers, who are your favorite Bible characters? Mm-hmm. It's almost always Peter in the New Testament.
And David.
And David in the Old Testament. The guys who always were getting themselves into difficulty.
Is it because we can relate with people like this?
I think so.
So yeah. Human, and I am so prone to open my mouth and say things I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Prone to step ahead when I should hold back.
And because there are people who epitomize the extremes. So both, you know, the pendulum, both sides, as far as it can swing. So wherever you are in your journey, there's always one story in these people's lives that you can identify with.
Yeah, like the washing of the feet at the Lord's Supper. You know?
Yep.
Not just my feet, all
Do
of
it
me.
All.
Peter and his fellow disciples are at this point, this is kind of their initial call to a new line of work. They're asked to abandon their nets, to leave that old life of catching fish behind, a life they know fairly well. And now their job is to catch people. How prepared is Peter to do this? To do this work? How ready is he to go out and catch people for the kingdom of heaven?
Well, again, I don't think he's prepared, except that he has such an enthusiastic spirit. And enthusiasm can catch just about anyone. You may not know anything you're talking about, but if you're enthusiastic enough, you'll get some followers. So in that sense, his temperament prepared him to do what he needed to do.
And maybe his line of work as well.
Say more.
I am not familiar with net fishing in a lake, but I grew up watching lots of fishing. And boy, you have to be willing to just keep casting your net. Keep casting your rod, your bait, and be okay whether it brings back anything you can see or not. And then you just do it again, and you do it again. And it seems that in the work that Jesus is asking of Peter, there might have been that same dynamic where you simply do the next cast, even though you have no idea what the outcome will be.
So perhaps Peter is unprepared for the call in a sense that he is not sure all that it entails, but perhaps his background hasn't left him woefully unprepared for it. Perhaps the patience of fishing has taught him the difficulty and how much easier are people to bring in for the kingdom than fish. How much easier are they?
Or harder?
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is that you look at the composite picture of the 12 disciples. You've got a wild mix. You know, there's not one prototype. You know, this is what it takes to be a disciple. You can be one, and you can be one, and you can be one. See?
Each one bringing part, like one, mm-hmm. one tile in the mosaic.
That's
almost.
Right. That's right.
And would you suggest that that's valuable then for when we think about people within the body of believers within the church? Mm-hmm. No one person is going to be effective in reaching all types of people.
That's right.
We need the introverts as well as those of us who are a little more extroverted. We need those who are more task-oriented and those who are more people-oriented. We need those who like the out-of-doors and those who like to curl up with a book. Huh. But is the work of catching people easy? As we go through the gospel stories, you mentioned the foot washing of Peter experience when Jesus washes his feet. Are there other stories in the gospels that tell us about Peter's growth in learning to catch fish or what it means to be a disciple of Jesus that leads him to the point where he would actually be one of the great apostles in the New Testament that would write letters like this, filled with encouragement, filled with strength and moral imperative?
Well, in the study guide, Brent, you put out a lot of, well, a number of the stories which are important for the understanding and the experience of Peter. And it's really quite amazing, the variety of stories that are told in the New Testament about Peter. You think the first one on your list is where Peter affirmed Jesus as the Messiah. But then immediately he tackled Jesus and says, no, you can't suffer. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. So it's a wild ride for Peter.
Jody, you mentioned the extremes, and here we have one of those pictures, mm-hmm. right, Alden, of the extremes. At the one mm-hmm. moment he's admitting, Jesus, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, mm-hmm. and Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, and the very next minute he is preventing Jesus from going to the cross to show the depth of God's love for people, and Jesus calls him Satan. Mm-hmm. At the same time, inspired yeah. versus speaking from the side of the dark.
And Peter says, I will never deny you. And Jesus says, well, you'll deny me three times. He's a good model for us.
Yeah, the lesson points out, you know, the different calls of Peter. And it's just interesting to think that what Jesus calls us to is often more than we are able to do.
Of ourselves?
Yeah. I think of a few years back running across a quote that in a way reshaped how I went forward in life. And it said something like, you don't become really spiritual by sitting and wanting to become so. You have to undertake something so great that you can't accomplish it unaided. And it seems like Peter here is catching a vision of something so great. He doesn't know what it even will look like to embrace it, but he just marches forward, trusting in a way, accepting his mistakes. I mean, he betrayed Christ, but then being willing to come around again and again and reinstate that relationship and trust that God will help him where he's not able.
And in the end, Jesus does reinstate him, right? At the end of the Gospel of John, we hear those words, Peter, do you love me? Three times. And the text in John is very clear. Peter was grieved when Jesus asked him the third time, Peter, do you love me? And at the conclusion of each of those statements, there's this request of Jesus for Peter to go out and feed his sheep. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Peter reinstated to ministry to something that was beyond him in some ways. I know that I feel very inadequate often to the task of teaching young people here at the university. I stand up in front of class, and it can be a challenge to feel always prepared. This next week, we will begin looking at the actual text of 1 Peter. We will dive into the book itself. I want to say thank you to my conversation partners, Alden Thompson and Jody Washburn, and my thanks also to Jared Miller, who is our program engineer. And thank you to all of you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Brant Berglund.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.